A weekly gauge of the job market hits a milestone.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, a big drop in the number of people filing for unemployment benefits last week. But first, where's Wall Street? Markets are up right now. The Dow is up 6 points at 11,592. The S&P 500 up about 0.1%, and same with the NASDAQ. Today, Pope Benedict signed an executive order that will try to bring the Vatican's bank in line with international standards on transparency. The bank is being investigated over money laundering allegations. Now to this morning's news from the Labor Department. The number of new applications for jobless benefits dropped to 388,000 last week. That's the lowest level since July of 2008. For reaction, let's bring in Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial. She's with us from Michigan this morning. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So what do you make of this number from the Labor Department?
Well, certainly the trend is in the right direction, and it's good news, but we do know this time of the year a lot of seasonal distortions can suppress the number. So I hate to pop any champagne corks yet because we're still a long way from seeing labor markets fully heal, and I think we're going to see some distortions in the next several weeks as well, everything from closing around Christmas to the shuttered government offices that we saw during the winter snows in the East Coast will, again, suppress unemployment claims because people just couldn't get in to apply.
So maybe not as great as it sounds. Diane, so much has happened in the economy this year. I want, as we close out this year, if you can put it in context for us, how will you remember 2010?
Well, you know, unfortunately, being in Michigan, I'm always reminded of reality. And I was recently in a Walmart in Michigan here and looking in the shampoo aisle, helping a woman find some shampoo. And as I pulled down a moderately priced brand for fine hair because her worrying was having her hair fall out of her head, She looked at me and she said, "I can't afford that." And it was less than I would pay for a cup of coffee at Starbucks. And I realized she told me she needed to buy shampoo and conditioner in one now because she couldn't afford to buy them separately anymore. And that's the reality for far too many people still in 2011, even as the economy is healing.
Puts everything in perspective. Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial. Thanks so much and have a happy new year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you. Well, the jobless claims number we got this morning is just one of many indicators we use to gauge the health of the economy. Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell has selected a few other measures of the economy that he's been following and will be following next year. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Jeremy.
So let's start out with housing, since the latest numbers that we got just this week are pretty gloomy. Prices are down across the country. Supply is up. What are you going to be watching here in 2011?
Well, I have a slightly more optimistic take on the market, and it has to do with the indicator that I'm following, home ownership versus renting. Because remember, these two markets compete for the household dollar. And Richard Green is a professor at University of Southern California, did a back-of-the-envelope calculation looking at the median home versus the median rental unit. And what he decided is for 2011 that owning the median home is about 10% less per square foot than renting the median rental unit. What that tells me is you can still have some price declines and ownership is good.
So there's a glimmer of hope there in the housing market for the year ahead. How else are you going to be gauging the economy, Chris? I mean, we talk about GDP growth or durable goods orders, things like that. What are you going to be looking at?
Apple stock. Apple stock. Now, can I read you one number?
Absolutely.
One number. Okay. So this comes from Morningstar, and I clicked on their 10-year chart. And it says the overall change in Apple stock for the decade, 4,275.77%.
Oh, my God. 4,000%.
This is incredible, but this is important. This is the innovative side of our economy, Google, Facebook, Twitter, the whole wireless mobile internet world. And this area of our economy is exploding. That's the real glimmer of hope.
Why didn't you tell me about the Apple stock 10 years ago, Chris? Now, all right, so the tech sector is doing well, but what about jobs? That's got to be the biggest story of the year, or at least one of them.
It is. So let's watch the temp sector. Over a quarter of all job hires by the private sector in 2010 were temp jobs. That's going to continue in 2011, but hopefully eventually we'll see those turn into permanent jobs.
All right. Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, happy new year. Thanks so much for everything in 2010, and we will be talking to you very frequently in 2011.
Happy new year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric.
Well, before Congress left town for the holidays, lawmakers failed to pass a new budget for the next fiscal year. They just extended this year's budget. And because of that, the space agency NASA will have to keep spending money on a rocket program that's been canceled. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
The rocket's called Ares 1, and it was meant to replace the space shuttle, which is being mothballed. But President Obama scuttled the Ares 1 in October when he told NASA to use private sector rockets instead. By law, NASA's forced to fund the defunct program to the tune of $500 million because Congress didn't pass a new budget for 2011. It just extended the old budget, which protected the Ares 1 and jobs in Alabama, where it's made. George Washington University space program expert John Logsdon says NASA's in a bind.
Trying to make the best possible use of the money allocated to it without being able to cancel programs that, according to the White House and NASA leadership, should be canceled and get started with a new approach to human spaceflight.
Logsdon says NASA's leaders will now try to direct funding to parts of the Ares 1 program that'll help it develop a next-generation spaceship, one that could eventually make the long trip to an asteroid, the moon, or even Mars. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, a jewelry store owner in North Carolina made a bet with his customers that it wouldn't snow more than 3 inches in the city of Asheville on Christmas Day. He said if it did snow that much, he'd refund everything that was purchased between November 26th and December the 11th. Well, guess what? It did snow 6 inches in Asheville on Christmas Day, and now he owes his customers $400,000. Well, actually, he took out an insurance policy, so the insurance company owes his customers $400,000. Now, I don't know which company it is, but it sounds to me like a bet that AIG would have taken. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The bustling streets of New York are becoming more bike-friendly, and businesses are taking notice.
The kind of employees who bike, those are the kinds of workers that companies really want to have, and they want to hold on to.
I'm Bob Moon. The cyclists take Manhattan. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.